At least I know by you singing that song, I know that they're awake when I started. I hope they'll be awake when I finish. That's the challenge. I hope you received an outline. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to do the series of lessons on the Beatitudes. This is the second in the series. If you keep those outlined, there'll be about seven of them, I think, in how I break up the Beatitudes. But you'll have a nice study guide if you keep those outlines, put them in a packet. The Beatitudes have to do with the kingdom, Christianity, the church. Jesus is telling his audience there's a coming joy, a comfort, a blessing that's going to be found in him and in the kingdom. We start by this one. Is going, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So I'd like to begin with some definitions so we understand some words alike. Just as last week, the word blessed or blessed, oh, the bliss is one of the definitions. Oh, the happiness, the joy, the contentment, the relief. It's a blessing, as you know, that comes from above. It's not earthly. It's not earthly comfort or blessing. And we have it even in the midst of persecution or hardship or trouble. It's a thing that is independent of your earthly status or circumstances. Even if death takes our life, it does not necessarily take away our blessing that we have, or the comfort that we have, the joy that we have in Christ Jesus or in the kingdom. So it said, blessed are they. Jesus speaks of a world of people. They have an opportunity to experience this blessing that he's talking about. That mourn. To mourn, by the definition of Jesus' era, that's a deep grief. It's from a Greek word that means intense sorrow. You're going to bewail or weep, lament, cry, or sob. It's a sorrow that pierces the heart. It's a word that's used to mourn for the dead. It's a blessing for those that mourn. But it has to be, you have to mourn for the right reason, for the blessing. It's a mourning that progresses from the first beatitude, being poor in spirit. When you're poor in spirit, remember that's that humility that says, I can't make it by myself. I can't formulate a plan that's acceptable to God for my forgiveness of sins. I'm desperate spiritually. I'm poor in spirit. I can't formulate a plan. God has to provide what I need, and he does. But I have to be poor in spirit to accept that and believe it and come to that, poor in spirit. So when you're poor in spirit, you're going to mourn the situation you're in. I'm going to mourn for my sins. Because of this desperate situation we're in, we cry to our God for our salvation. We cry because we can't provide for ourselves that salvation, and we see the need for that salvation. I'm poor in spirit. I'm desperate, so we cry out to God for a blessing, and God provides it. It's not the blessing of just grimness of mind. This blessing is not for those who just constantly go around with a long face. Well, I just want to be sad so I can have a blessing. That's not the context of it. It's not the pessimist. It's not the attitude of just being sullen or morbid or perpetually down. It's not self-pity. It's not the one who tries to enlist sympathy with tears. No. We're talking about a spiritual blessing for those that mourn because they're sin sick. And God provides comfort. They shall be comforted. Means to call to one side, to be refreshed, cheered, or strengthened, or braced up, supported, encouraged, or aided. If you mourn for the right things, the spiritual need for salvation, oh, there's comfort. That's right. the right reason. I put you all just the words of the hymn number 161 or 961. There's a balm in Gilead for the wounded soul, to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. That's the comfort. A balm, a salve in Gilead for those who are sin-sick. There's a comfort that Jesus says, I'm going to provide, and that's the blessing. Christians are not, we're not ecstatic all the time, but we can be cheerful. Even in the worst of situations, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10 says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So the lesson here is we can have both. Now we can have times of sorrow, mourning, but also times of rejoicing, times of comfort. But Paul mentioned, I didn't write these down in my notes, I just made a reference. But in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning of verse 8, we're troubled on every side, mourn, but not distressed, comfort. We're perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted,
yeah.
Oh, but not forsaken. Cast down,
yeah,
but not destroyed. Always. And chapter 11 continues. I've been in more labors, more abundant, labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, prisons more frequent, in deaths often. The Jews have 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, night and day I've been on the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings, in hunger, thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness. And then one of my favorite verses, besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care for all the churches. The care for the churches. There's a time to be comforted because of these situations we're in. I mentioned 3 in your notes. The word mourning carries 3 basic ideas. Number 1, in the text itself, describes the one who mourns over his own sins. I cry because I can't make my own salvation up. I'm in desperate need of someone to help me, and God knows. When we see our spiritual poverty, it leads to a broken heart. Our soul is flooded with sorrow over our transgressions. You know, Isaiah described it, your sins have separated you from your God. Yep. What can I do? I'm poor in spirit. My sins have separated me. It's an agony of spirit that seeks spiritual relief. That's the blessing. Blessed are they that mourn over my sin sickness. I need the comfort. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. I need godly sorrow. I need to mourn. It's in contrast to the worldly sorrow that doesn't bring forth repentance. Just sorrow alone does not bring eternal life. We need to have a blessing for those who mourn. Over their sin sickness. There's a comfort. We're to be sorrowful for our sins, and here's the list of verses. Psalm 51, David was sorry for his sin. In Psalm 51, verse 1, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. In verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. In verse 11 and 12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. So because we're poor in spirit, we cry for salvation and we plead to God for that comfort from above. Psalm 38, verse 18. David said, I'll declare mine iniquity. I'll be sorry for my sin. Yeah, we need to mourn. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, says Jehovah, that you turn unto me with all your heart, with weeping and with mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto Jehovah your God. Yeah. Mourn for the right thing. And there's a spiritual blessing. In Romans 7, verse 24, put this in your notes. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Who? Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, God. Comfort. Can't get it anywhere else for my sins. The second, there's a mourning that we could say about the sins of the world. If we mourn over our own sins, the sins of others may cause us to cry too. Situation that somebody else is in. In Psalm 119, verse 136, Psalmist said, rivers of water run down my eyes because they don't keep the law. Other people's sins, hardships, troubles, trials cause me to sin, me to cry. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, he says, oh, my head, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people. They're going to be carried away to captivity because of their sins. So he cries. The people wouldn't listen to Jeremiah's preaching. And then he writes that book titled Lamentations. Jeremiah has been known as the weeping prophet. He cries because of what the situation that others are in. In Jeremiah 9, verse 13, but if ye will not hear, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. My eyes shall weep sore, run down with tears, because the Lord's flock will be carried away captive. Ah. Remember Jesus, too, when he went to Jerusalem, close to the end of his ministry, in Luke 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Oh, remember the phrase, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks. I would have done that, but you would not. So we cry over the sins of others, too. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and tell you now, even weeping, they're the enemies of the cross. Cry over other people's sad situation. In Acts 20, verse 31, he said, remember that for 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Right, then we come to that verse, and blessed are those that weep, they should be comforted. How are we going to comfort? Where are we going to get the comfort for the sad situation of our world? Perhaps we're comforting when we see that sad condition and we pray. Or we work diligently in doing our part to present the gospel message to them. You think of all of our mission efforts, our outreach, trying to reach a sinful world. We cry because of that sad situation they're in. So we have our World Bible School, we have World Radio, we have our Bible correspondence courses, we have our preaching, we have our Bible classes, we use the internet, there's live stream, there's people, brethren, YouTube their assemblies, we have printed materials. Look at everything that's available that we strive to use because we see the sad condition in our world and we want to get that message out. And that comforts us. That we can get the message out in all the languages. Number three, we mourn over the suffering and the sorrows of others in this world. Just physical sorrows. Jesus did that when he went to the funeral of his friend Lazarus in John chapter 11. Now he heard the word that Lazarus had died. So he makes the journey. And when he gets outside the city, Mary and the other Jews come out there and greet him.
It says when in John 11, verse 33, Jesus saw her, Mary, weeping, and the Jews also weeping that came with her, he groaned in his spirit. And then it says Jesus wept. There's sometimes we just see the sad situation that someone else is in, and we cry. And we go to their aid. There's comfort. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, weep with those who weep. There's a blessing for those that mourn. They shall be comforted. So when I mourn for my sins, oh, there's comfort in Christ Jesus. I mourn for the sins of our world, but the gospel, that's Jesus' great commission. We mourn over the sufferings that someone else is in, and we run to their aid. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, heard about the sad situation of the distress of the people back in Jerusalem, and that the wall was broken down. He wept, and he prayed. And then the comfort, that's that last word. They should be comforted. So when we mourn, it goes back to the original definition. When we mourn over our sins, we're comforted by the forgiveness that God offers. Meaning, we're comforted, we're strengthened, we're encouraged, we're relieved. Appreciate that song, Just As I Am. You always heard me say the third stanza. When I'm poor in spirit and I sorrow for my sins, that third stanza of the song says, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's the beatitude. Cry for our sins. The Bible uses, says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, it uses the phrase, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Comfort comes from the Father above. Not enough just to mourn. Need to mourn for the right thing. It's the comfort for forgiveness we receive that's proper, the receive that's proper from our mourning and leads to rejoicing. Use the phrase, salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always. In Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep is found. Let's rejoice. The lost coin is found. Let's rejoice. The lost son comes home. Let's rejoice. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. One sinner repents, the angels rejoice. There's one other one I put, just the words of the song. There's an eternal comfort too at the end. Song, this one's not in our book, but it says, some golden day the heart shall reap what once was sown in tears. And longing eyes shall never weep, nor feet shall walk alone. The heart shall reap in joy. The heart shall reap in joy. It's from Psalm 126, verse 5. Third stanza, that golden day is free from fears and cares no more annoy. The heart that oft has sown in tears shall reap someday in joy. Comfort. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The end. The heart shall reap in joy. The heart shall reap in joy. The heart that oft has sown in tears, the heart shall reap in joy. So always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. And this is the blessing. If you mourn for the right thing, there's comfort. But you have to come. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, you who labor, I'll give you rest. You have to come to him, his way. So these last words, spread that gospel message to the creation, to our world. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's a salvation message. If you're subject to that invitation, if you're subject to that, that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we're going to sing this song of invitation. I always add the word song of encouragement, song of exhortation. urge you to do what you should do. So Dennis, make your way to the front here. We'll stand together and sing this to Dennis for us. Again, we need to respect the way to be known as the close of the